a general conference preview show, part one of a four-part series with Indiana Conference delegate Reverend Russ Abel here on episode number 100 of the To Be Encouraged podcast with Bishop Julius C. Trumbull. You are welcome to Be Encouraged with Bishop Julius C. Trumbull. Bishop Trumbull is on a mission to encourage you with the love of Jesus Christ so you can rise to your highest potential. On To Be Encouraged, Bishop Trumbull speaks to a discouraged world with a good word on the pandemic, racism, the environment, human sexuality, and the state of the church, with a focus on centering your life on the love of Jesus Christ. Has there ever been a more needed time for an encouraging word to our world? This is your time to rise to your greatest potential and to be encouraged with Bishop Julius C. Trumbull. Hello, good people, and welcome to Be Encouraged with Bishop Julius C. Trumbull. This is the podcast where we look to offer an encouraging word to an often discouraged world. I am your co-host, Reverend Dr. Brad Miller. Well, it's finally upon us. General Conference of 2020 is happening in 2024. It's a bit confusing, I know. But those of us who are United Methodists know about the various situations that have happened with COVID and other things that which have caused General Conference to be delayed on several occasions. The last General Conference was in 2019, so 5 years later, we are now having this session, this incredibly important session of General Conference, which is convening April 23rd through May 3rd, 2024 in Charlotte, North Carolina. There'll be many, many, many decisions made that have profound impact on the future direction of the United Methodist Church. So, Bishop Trumbull is speaking to this situation, to the General Conference, in a series of four special episodes, which are going to be released here in April of 2024. Four different episodes. So today, in episode number 100, we'll be talking with Reverend Russ Abel from the Northeast and East Districts of the Indiana Conference United Methodist Church. He is a delegate to General Conference. So Bishop Trumbull and I will have that conversation with him in just a moment or two here. Next time around, in episode number 101, we'll be talking to Reverend Dr. Elise Fulbright. She's the superintendent of the Central District, Indiana Conference United Methodist Church, a delegate to General Conference. Then part three, episode 102, we'll have a conversation, Bishop Trumbull will, with Reverend Larry Whitehead, who is the from the Indiana Conference. He's the executive assistant to Bishop Trumbull and a delegate to the General Conference. And then the fourth part of this four-part series will be a replay of a town hall that Bishop Trumbull had with an open Zoom call with a lot of folks who offered their comments and their questions to Bishop Trumbull, which he responded to in a town hall. And we will have that for you as well in episode number four, or part four of this four-part episode. That is episode number 103 of the To Be Encouraged podcast. I invite you to tune into all of those. You can check out everything at tobeencouraged.com. Glad to have you with us on this very important series of podcast episodes. Let's get into our conversation with Russ Abel, a delegate to General Conference, right now. We are welcoming today Reverend Russ Abel, who is the conference superintendent of the East and Northeast District of the Indiana Conference of the United Methodist Church. One of the primary cities involved there is Fort Wayne. Bishop, can you give a welcome to our guest here today on To Be Encouraged?
Well, welcome to Russ, colleague and cabinet member. Thank you for your witness, you and Michelle, and your recent response. We had here in Indiana some tornadoes and some heavy damaging storms. And as is often the case, United Methodist don't wait to respond. And I just want to say thanks, Russ, for your leadership. And you may even want to give an update on that. We have people that listen to the podcast from not just Indiana, but from around the world. And our primary target audience includes United Methodists here in Indiana. So welcome, Russ, for this time of conversation.
Thank you.
Well, Russ, indeed, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and we'd just like to hear just a little bit about you in terms of a little bit about your background, about maybe what brought you to faith in Jesus Christ in the first place, and how did it come about that you came to serve in United Methodist Ministry, and particularly in your role right now as a conference superintendent?
Well, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Bishop, for having me on today. So I came to faith in Christ more like a sunrise than a light switch. You know, some people, I think, name the time, the day, the moment. For me, it was more a realization that Christ was my Savior and had been for some time. That came to me through the United Methodist Church and through who then to me offered spiritual counsel. And I found the grace of Christ and have never turned back. I serve as a superintendent in the Northeast and East District of the United Methodist Church in Indiana. And the short answer of how I came to serve there is the bishop asked me to dinner. You know, yeah. Remember that anytime you get an invitation from the bishop, maybe, I don't know. I'm really thankful to get to serve this way. I know a lot of people sometimes misunderstand this role, but I think it's a great way to serve, and I'm very thankful to continue to serve these two districts.
Well, Russ, one of the main reasons we have you here today is because of something that Bishop really particularly wants to chat about here today, and that is General Conference of 2024, or I guess it's technically General Conference 2020 in the year 2024. We'll have to unpack that a little bit here, but we're glad that you're with us. You happen to be a delegate from the Indiana Conference and the head of the delegation. And we are glad that you are with us here. So, Bishop, I know you have some things you wanted to talk to Russ about regarding General Conference.
Yeah, first of all, welcome again, Russ. General Conference, if I understand correctly, is comprised of clergy and lay leaders elected from annual conferences, missionary conferences, provisional conferences around the globe. And they gather usually every 4 years for a 10-day meeting in which we vote on legislation, we worship and pray. But primarily, we make any changes to our book of discipline and book of resolutions. So I just wanted you to maybe respond as we are actually meeting in 2024 in Charlotte, North Carolina, but it's the 2020 postponed General Conference. And what does that mean for you? And what are your responsibilities as the head of a delegation? Most people might say, well, what's the head of the delegation? Isn't he or she just another voting member? But you have other responsibilities, I think, in terms of organizationally. So can you just kind of give us a summary of, I know I covered a lot there in terms of General Conference, but any way you want to approach that?
Yeah, I think I'd start by Bishop just saying I have no idea.
That seems to be the theme of around the church these days in many ways, isn't it? My goodness.
It seemed like a good idea at the time when you say I run that.
I tell people it's the longest 14-month volunteer role I've ever had. Thank you for the question. This is a peculiar and unique season in the United Methodist Church in terms of General Conference. As Bishop said, General Conference meets historically every 4 years, and they coincide with presidential elections in the United States, same sort of years, every 4 years in that order. We've had some exceptions to that. The most recent exception was 2019 special called General Conference session, which was just that. It was called for a particular reason, much like a charge conference would be a special called charge conference to deal with a particular agenda. And so 2020 General Conference has been postponed a few times due to COVID. And complications and challenges came about from Carolina. We will be convening the 2020 General Conference, and we will meet in session for that. It's our expectation at this point, we believe, that the 2024 General Conference will possibly be canceled since no legislation has been submitted to that general conference yet. And we will meet in special session, perhaps in 2026, and then in regular session back on that quadrennial or every 4-year pattern in 2028. I do serve as a delegate. I'm part of an amazing delegation from Indiana. We have shaped and been reshaped by new members coming on and other members stepping away. And so many of us were elected in June of 2019. Some of us were elected in June of 2023, but all of us have the same goal, and that is to be faithful to the best of our ability to the call of Christ in our lives and to the role and mission of the United Methodist Church in the world. And so that's what takes us to Charlotte, North Carolina next month and the beginning of May.
Thank you, Russ, for a great overview. Are there particular responsibilities as Dean of the Cabinet that you have that just the regular other members don't have?
Yeah, I think you meant to say head of the delegation, not Dean of the Cabinet.
Head of the delegation.
Unless there's something, Elise, and I don't know. So,
I mean, my apologies.
So the total number of people who will be delegates at General Conference is 862. One of the functions of heads of delegations is, can you imagine receiving all the questions from 862 different delegates to the General Conference staff? It would be untenable. So one of the roles of the head of the delegation is to be the primary communication connector between information being released about General Conference, responsibilities required for General Conference, and actions of the delegation. So you serve as that sort of moderator of information. So that's one piece. Secondly, you do work with other heads of delegations to consider how we might work together. And that's both at General Conference and jurisdictional conferences that happen during your term as a delegate. The third way is the head of the delegation is the person who has responsibility, organizing the delegation's work. Certainly don't do that alone, but you sort of help that facilitate that to come together. And so you get to see a lot of sides of the work of the General Conference. But really, the important part is, how do you work together with other delegation heads and your delegation to serve in the best way possible?
Thank you, Russ. There's as much as 1,000 pieces of legislation, if I'm correct. And I just started trying to navigate my way around looking at some. I just want to read a little bit. One is the general boards and agencies present their plans and legislation. Then there's legislation that comes from conferences and caucuses, and then an individual can submit legislation to General Conference, which is how we end up with so many different pieces of legislation. This summary is from Discipleship Ministries, a 2020 legislation summary for coming now, 2024. To see vital and vibrant church on fire to transform the world. It's the executive summary. The agency has recently completed a rigorous 3-year process, create a more holistic, integrated, and focused approach in assisting United Methodist leaders in their disciple-making efforts. Discipleship Ministries has identified 3 strategic priorities: an intentional disciple-making process in every church, engagement with people currently outside the church, and cultivating local contextual resources around the globe. Our primary business is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Is there a sense that as a voting member of General Conference, you're looking to see on all legislation, is there a lens where we say, we used to say, what does this have to do with John 3:16? Or what does this have to do with Matthew 28? A lot of the legislation really has to do with, whether this line will be taken out of the discipline or this one added to discipline. What's your sense of the focus on our primary mission as we approach General Conference? Then I'll let Brad take some of the next few questions.
Fair enough. So one of the things we talk about on our delegation a lot is to keep the focus of our work on making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In other words, as we think about this particular piece of legislation, this report of a general agency, this opinion or viewpoint of a caucus group, in the end, how does that impact our ability as a worldwide church to make disciples of Jesus Christ and transform the world? I think it's really easy, Bishop, or could be really easy, to sort of get hyper-focused on the administrative function of General Conference, that this piece of legislation, and actually you're right, there's more than 1,000. There's 1,008 pieces of legislation this round. So you could get focused on, like, what's the process that we're going to use or is used to move this from a petition to entrance into the discipline. And that's important work. But the most important work is, does it help us make disciples? Does it help us bring justice and equity to the world? You know, and so we talk on our delegation a lot about that. And in my conversations with people kind of around the general church, I think everybody has that goal. Like I said, you can get distracted or you can get hyper-focused on one part or another. But in the end, if it's not about Jesus and helping people know Jesus and know Jesus more, then really we've gotten off track a little bit. And so certainly some of the pieces of legislation may tend more toward like an editorial change of this word would be better than that word. But the intention is always, should always be, how does it move us forward in our mission? How does it help us as a global church to operate in a way that all voices are heard, all people are seen, and all love is shared? So that's the frame that we approach. And one additional piece, Bishop, I might add, our most recent conversations at the delegation level, our delegation, have been kind of focused on Acts 1:8, where Jesus calls us to be witnesses. So even as we're at General Conference, even as we attend and we participate, what are ways we can intentionally be good witnesses for Jesus Christ in that environment, so that we look like the church, we sound like the church, even as we're doing the work of the church? So that's part of our focus.
Thank you, Russ.
Well, Russ, even as you were speaking there, you're talking about focus and kind of trying to avoid hyper focus on the administration stuff, but keep the focus, keep the main thing the main thing about our focus on making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that's, and Acts 1:8 is all about the church coming together and so on and being unity. But we have to deal with some reality, don't we, Russ, that we live in a time of schism and disaffiliation that has happened and is happening in the church, and that there are difficult things to deal with at this general conference, which have huge implications to the future of the church and the future of local churches and clergy and so on and so on and so forth. How are you personally, and how is the Indiana delegation navigating that with differing viewpoints about within the delegation, I understand, and also certainly among the body of the General Conference? How are you navigating some of these things? And we'll need to deal with the LGBTQ issues, plus issues as well, somehow or another here. But to give me a little idea, if we have a provision on unity, how are we doing with all this division as well? Well,
thank you, Brad. There was a lot in that question. I would say, let me start where you started, and that's with reality.
Yeah.
So the gospel can never be disconnected from the current reality in which we find ourselves. And that reality that we find ourselves in right now is in this particular place and time. And we need to keep in mind that there are realities that other people are facing as well. So just this past week, in one of the districts I served, we had tornadoes come through and do severe property damage. Thank God, there were no loss of life. But that reality for those folks was very real. And so part of, I think, our goal or our call in serving in the delegation or at any general church level is to say, how does our work connect the reality of the church to the reality, the lived reality of the people we serve? And so, you know, we have been through a season of disaffiliation. That's no secret. In Indiana, we were affected greatly. But we also know that we We don't just mourn. We do mourn the churches that left. In a sense, we mourn them, but we also look forward. So let me own it personally. I mourn the change in relationships, but I also keep in mind that this is a kingdom moment. So they may have left the United Methodist Church. They didn't leave the kingdom of God. And so I pray that their ministries will be fruitful and continue to help people know Christ. So that is part of our reality or our recent history, but it has happened. But what's the church we strive to be? As we move forward, we have this amazing opportunity as General Conference delegations to say, what will the church look like as we move forward? What will the future of the church be like? I hope that we never serve a church in which there is only agreement, right? Unity means we all move together toward the same goal, but we won't all agree on everything along the path. And so we seek to proclaim the unity of Christ and the unity of the body of Christ by recognizing diversity in every way. So the delegation, as we move into General Conference, I think that what we do is we have been praying over, we have been learning about, we have been in conversation around different parts of and groupings of legislation that are coming to General Conference. Again, holding the question in front of us, how will this help us fulfill our mission and move the cause of Christ forward? And so there are several issues within that. And so our call, our role, we believe, is to prayerfully and faithfully move toward the future that God is calling this church, this United Methodist Church, to be. So that's how we're moving forward. I'm not sure I covered everything in your question, but feel free to read.
I apologize for being so broad, but I think these are some of the areas that, you know, people want to know. You know, they just want to know where kind of they want to going in. We mentioned at the very top of our conversation, kind of, we don't know what's going to happen. It almost is almost laughable about how it's so many unknowns here. But we know that somehow we'll come out of General Conference and things are probably going to be different one way or another in how we do church. Mm-hmm. And so I think people kind of want to get some idea of that. And I would really like both, maybe perhaps Bishop, you can chime in here on this. There are some kind of granular things that I think some people have heard a little bit about, but want to get some more clarity about. For instance, a movement towards something called regionalization, you know, and other things of that nature, and the changing of language, of adjustment of language, harmful language in paragraph 304.3 in the discipline. I don't know if these are some things that we might be able to, but let's take regionalization. Is this something we can speak to?
Yep. Great. Brad, if go ahead, good. Yeah, Bishop, thank you. Let me just share with you a few areas of legislation that I think people are particularly concerned about and would be affected by. You mentioned regionalization. Regionalization is a really important thing that's coming before General Conference. It affects its legislation is in several different groups that will be discussing at General Conference and bringing it forward. I think that the short and succinct way to think about regionalization is it allows for certain parts of the Book of Discipline to be shaped by the context of ministry that's being exercised. So outside the United States, parts of the United Methodist Church already can do this. And so the question is, should that be the case within the United States? Another piece of legislation that's really important is the revised social principles. And that's something that everyone should be aware of. That information, as well as all the information I'm talking about, is available online. So read through this revision of the social principles. You know, we are a church that believes that the gospel is lived out, seeking justice, equity, and inclusion of folks all around the world. And so the revised social principles is important. The third grouping of pieces of legislation that's important to watch will be the removal of harmful language. And it certainly is connected to the reference you made to the discipline, Brad, but it's also affecting other parts of the Book of Discipline. So that grouping, that set of legislation, it would ask that the General Conference remove prohibitive language in regard to human sexuality from the Book of Discipline. It does not ask that affirmative language, prohibitive language, is removed. And I think that's a really important distinction to understand at this point. I think the last piece I would say, and then certainly we'll yield to Bishop and his wisdom, but all three of those primary or big sets of legislation I mentioned, regionalization, revised social principles, and removal of harmful language, have the potential to have constitutional changes in the Book of Discipline, which means that those changes have to be ratified by a 2/3 aggregate vote of voting members of all annual conferences around the world. And so if those pieces of legislation pass, quote unquote, pass at General Conference, then they're not fully approved until that ratification process is complete. So I think that's another important piece for people to understand. And so that's what I would share in regard to your specific question.
It's a very involved process. Yeah, Bishop, I would really like to hear your take on this, particularly in any role the bishops may play in all this.
Well, I mean, General Conference, the bishops preside, but we do not have a vote. Certainly, one of the pieces that Russ didn't talk about was, you know, we are anticipating in the near future, as a result of this General Conference, maybe some reshaping and realignment of the way in which we live out a ministry through general boards and agencies, because we anticipate a budget proposal that will reflect the fact that, that you know, we have significant number of churches that have disaffiliated. So if we, we've 50,000 churches that have disaffiliated, I think the budget proposals, and the General Conference is the body that has to approve whatever our quadrennial budget will have implications for the general boards and agencies and the caretaker, if you will, for social principles and the general board of churches and society, which helps annual conferences and local congregations to kind of live out, interpret, and carry forth the social principles along with the other agencies, global ministries that's very much involved in missionary, the support for our missionaries across the globe, and provides some administrative support for UMCOR, which we're benefiting from right now in Indiana. So all of these things will be impacted by decisions made at General Conference. I think a lot of people are asking the question, what will General Conference mean for the life at the local church level? And my hope is that we will come away from General Conference with the clear message that we are United Methodists, and we are still very much, as we are in Indiana, committed to being both in mission and being missional, and that we still believe that the local church is the primary place in which disciple making takes place and mission is lived out. So I think the bishops are really wanting to see people get excited about the future of the United Methodist Church, with those of us and a church that is more inclusive, less divided, and less focused on debate, and more focused on being in mission and being missional. I think that the removal of harmful language will be helpful in that. I think approval of regionalization will be helpful in that cause. But also, I think that the outside world, if you will, wants to know, well, do we care about folks who are starving in Gaza, or do we care about folks who are hungry in the rural areas of Indiana? Do we care about children? Do we care about, you know, violence, the way it's manifest across the globe and sometimes in some of our cities and communities? Does the church care about the lost and the least and the overlooked, which is part of our history as United Methodists?
It seems to me that we are entering this odyssey, as it were, of going through this time where we changed people. And yet I do know from conversations with other folks, people, for instance, I believe the last General Conference was in 19, and there was a lot of people came out of that discouraged, you know, with how things went then. What do you think is the, what do we need to be encouraged about going into this general conference, and what can do you think we can emerge out of this conference to focus in on moving forward? Just, I'm asking you to project a little bit to kind of give your vibe, your feel of how we're going in. Russ, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question. So the headline of General Conference seems always to be the legislative work, and it's incredibly important. But the encouraging parts, the exciting parts, the blessed parts of General Conference are the times when we gather together, the worship times, the times when we hear reports from youth and from women's ministries and men's ministries, and we hear all the ways the church is active in the world, and just the experience of being in a room with United Methodists from all over the world. We can tend to live in somewhat isolated ways and forget just how diverse the church really is. To sit in a plenary session or a worship session and hear what's being spoken translated simultaneously in five different languages, because that's what it takes for everybody to communicate. To look out across the room and see the cultural and racial diversity, those are things that give me all kinds of encouragement. I think that I expect that this General Conference will be one in which we live and do our work as disciples of Jesus, and that when people look at us, they'll see that. We may not agree. There may be discussions or even arguments, but in the end, my prayer is that our love for Christ and love for one another will be so clear that it'll be undeniable and will have to be shared, because that'll be the good news moment.
Bishop, well, I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well.
Well, I am very much encouraged about this general conference. I left despondent, discouraged, in grief, and went through a period of depression after 2019. And right there, he gave a protest on the floor at one point. So that was the worst experience I'd ever had at a general conference or any annual conference, any other kind of conference. And it wasn't just because of the votes. It was because of the spirit of acrimony. So I just fully anticipate that this conference, people are coming in with it with a totally different spirit. We have survived, Brett. We need to remind ourselves, a pandemic. You know, that's the, you know, first in the history of the United Methodist Church in modern times. Since because this was a global pandemic, unlike the one 100 years ago here in the U.S. that wasn't totally a global pandemic. We survived the pandemic, some really racial reckoning that we're still working, and we made a commitment to continue that work and our retirement celebration, Russ. But I think it's worth picking up. I say this is the time to pivot with passion, for the mission, as opposed to just, you know, I think it's appropriate to lament loss. Don't get me wrong. We should lament loss. We should pay attention to confession and repentance. But I think the church really needs the world really needs a passionate United Methodist Church. And here's an example of hope that sometimes we overlook. And I miss it all the time. So we've had between 25 and 28 new fresh expressions of ministry in the last 13 months in the Indiana Conference. Probably were it not for disaffiliation and the pandemic, we would not have had that many new risk-taking ministries, including a couple of new church starts as a result of that. So while there's loss, there's also gain. While there's death, there's also been new birth and new life. And we tend to, I think someone said, what we elevate, we also should celebrate. And what we celebrate, we should elevate. And I'm more inclined at this period to really try to celebrate and elevate the new things that are happening, because God is always doing a new thing. Yes, we have lost churches in Indiana. And guess what? There will be some people, I think it will be a small minority, of people who will come to General Conference with the hopes of still finding ways to leave the church. Mm-hmm. But I think the majority of people will come to General Conference with an openness to pivot with passion towards the mission. So that's where my prayers are towards, that we might really encourage each other going into General Conference and be reminded, as I heard someone just say today, I was watching on a webinar, that we need to be remembered that it's not our church. I'm guilty of that, saying, referring to the church as my church, or you know, the United Methodist Church is our church, but as opposed, it is the church of Jesus Christ that will not fail, cannot be destroyed. So I'm very hopeful. And I look down the list of the dinner churches and the messy churches and the Hispanic ministry New Starts and some of the things that Russ Abel's doing in his two districts. Man, I get excited about that. And sometimes I forget, you know, because we spend so much energy on focusing on all of the logistics around people leaving and forget that God is still doing a new thing. So General Conference will come and go, and we'll come back and we still will have churches that have to do ministry.
Yeah, well, General Conference indeed will come and go, and we need to be navigate that to come out to a better place. Russ, I know you had something you want to say there.
Yeah, I just want to jump in real quick. Thank you. In regard to what Bishop said about sometimes we overlook the good things, to some degree, how General Conference will go and be perceived is not just the responsibility of the people who attend it. It will be what do you choose to talk about? And what kind of stories will we tell? Will we tell all those stories about connection and unity and ministry and mission? Or will we choose on the few places where there might be disagreement and disunity? So I think that we all share in that responsibility of the story we tell.
Yeah, I agree. And yet I just want us to understand that in the local church level, most churches are focused on whatever is happening in their local community, their local context. But the context is impacted by decisions that are made at General Conference. You know, the church I attend, you know, the LGBTQ+ folks who attend there may be impacted by decisions that are made one way or another at General Conference. And these are the implications that we need to find a way to navigate through in order to continue to do effective ministry in our local churches. And not everybody understands that in local church level, and they often don't need to in some regards, because they need to focus locally, but there are implications here. And so it's my hope and prayer that we can continue to leverage church so it is impacting those local United Methodist churches, including the people who are active and vibrant in whatever situation in life they are in. Bishop, anything else you want to share or ask Russ about before we bring this around to a close here in a few minutes?
Well, since you gave me that opening, I'm going to steal your question you usually ask and say, Russ, what's encouraging you now when you think about your current role as a conference superintendent? And I mean, you just immediately responded to the communities, and I know there's more response that we have to follow up on. Communities that are impacted by the tornadoes and storms. What are you encouraged by? There's a few weeks before you go to Charlotte. Where do you find encouragement and hope? You don't want to. You've been accused of living the dream. So, what encourages you?
Well, I do, Bishop.
I'll respond to the same question.
So I'm encouraged.
Going to ask me that anyway.
Fair enough. So let me tell a story. I worship Sunday in a small membership church in the East District, southern part of the East District. And I arrived a half an hour late because I had the wrong time for worship to start, which could have been embarrassing, could have been frustrating. But rather, the congregation welcomed me in, joked with me, and received me. And I saw the power of that congregation. I saw the faithfulness of that pastor who has another job, full-time job, and pastors this church as well, and does an amazing job. I was challenged by a message that she brought. And so you want to know what encourages me is that I continue to see the faithfulness of the people of God serving a God that is infinitely faithful to us. So General Conference will come and it will go, and we will seek to be as faithful as we can. And I'll be encouraged as I see the diversity and the power of the worship at General Conference, but I'll also take with me the worship and the faithfulness of the people that I saw this past Sunday.
Praise be to God.
What a great witness. Well, Bishop, can you just give a word of thanks and appreciation to Russ, and then tell us what you're encouraged about, and if you'd be so kind as to close us in prayer.
Actually, yes. Thank you, Russ. Thank you so much. I'm encouraged by getting to work with folks like Russ and by the ways in which I experienced vibrant worship. I've had a chance to preach recently in several of our congregations, and people are not really overly obsessed with what's going to happen at a quadrennial meeting, but they do recognize that we are connected, and people really want to experience more connection, Brad, more belonging, which is a popular term now, a sense that, you know, there's a place for everybody, not just some people. It's been said that we're UMC stands for upper middle class, and that maybe while we preach to the poor and talk about it, we are not really in ministry or in relationship with people across the social strata. So I think I'm encouraged by people who love Jesus and want to just continue doing new things. I think we ought to, as Paul Chilko writes in his book, Multiply in Love, remember that we are always renewing. Don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Don't you recognize it? I'm making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness. This is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. I want to sign off by just saying thank you to Russ Abel and Brad, the Reverend Dr. Brad Miller, and God bless you. May the Lord bless you as we journey towards General Conference, but more importantly, as we live out our days and evenings, knowing that God loves us as we lead up to the holy season, the holy weekend of Easter. God bless you. God be with you.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on the To Be Encouraged podcast. Our special guest today, Reverend Russ Abel, Superintendent, Conference Superintendent of the East and Northeast Districts at Indiana Conference. Thank you for being with us here on the podcast that offers an encouraging word to an often discouraged world. Many thanks again to Reverend Russ Abel, Delegate to the General Conference from the Indiana Conference United Methodist Church. He was a tremendous guest here today. Just a reminder that this was part one of a four-part series of episodes all around the topic of General Conference. And certainly Bishop Trimble asked for your prayers and your interest in the General Conference. And we'll put notes about that in our show notes at tobeencouraged.com. You can look forward to our next three episodes. Our next episode, episode number 101, will be an interview with Reverend Dr. Elise Fulbright, a delegate to the General Conference from the Indiana Conference, Superintendent of the Central District. And episode number 102 will be an interview with Reverend Larry Whitehead, a delegate to General Conference. He is also the Executive Assistant to Bishop Trimble. And then the part four of this series, which is episode number 103, is a replay of a town hall conversation that Bishop Trimble had with many people who called in on a Zoom call. Hope that you tune into all of those and be in prayer and good thinking about, so that the resolutions and the decisions made at General Conference can really help to help us indeed to fulfill our mission in the United Methodist Church to make disciple 23rd through May 3rd in Charlotte, North Carolina. So as you tune in to all these special broadcasts, these special podcast episodes here, this four-part series, we look forward to seeing you next time. So until next time, good people, this is Reverend Dr. Brad Miller speaking on behalf of Bishop Julius C. Trimble, encouraging you to always do all the good that you can. We do thank Bishop Julius C. Trimble for teaching this series of lessons on the book Multiplying Love by Paul W. Chilcott here in the Lenten season of 2024. If you missed any of the prior lessons, the prior three teachings here on this book, you can find them at tobeencouraged.com/ 096, 097, 098, and this was episode 099. Indeed, it is at tobeencouraged.com, where you can find all prior episodes of the To Be Encouraged podcast, which is designed to offer an encouraging word to an often discouraged world. We also invite you to tune in to upcoming episodes of the To Be Encouraged podcast, where Bishop Trimble will have special guests to speak to matters surrounding General Conference 2024. This is Reverend Dr. Brad Miller speaking for Bishop Julius C. Trimble, encouraging you to always do all the good that you can.